Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Nun Beis. We're holding Nun Aleph Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom of the Amud. Nun Aleph Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom of the Amud. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara first initially quotes from our Mishnah. The Mishnah taught us yesterday that in the Ksubois you have two different texts. You have a text of a ksuba for Yisraelim, for regular Yidden, and then you have a special text for the ksuba for Kohanim. So if you went into your favorite ksuba store and you said, I want to order a ksuba, they would ask you, are you a Yisrael or are you a Kohen? Now what nafka minute is there between a Kohen or a Yisrael and a ksuba? Isn't it all the same? No, it's not all the same. Because one of the Tnoi Ksuba is that if Chas V'Sholem, if the wife is never taken into captivity, he promises in the Ksuba to go and redeem her. But what happens after she's redeemed? If it happens to be an Eishes Yisrael, she returns to her husband. Because even if Chas V'Sholem, she was Nivala, it was Be'oinis. If it was Be'oinis, you don't have to worry about it, because an Eishes Yisrael, Shenensa, is muteres lebalo. But what happens if it's an Eishes Koyin Chas V'Sholem Shenensa? Then she's asur lebalo. And therefore the nusach in the ksuba is, after I redeem you, I will return you limdinoseich, back to your hometown, so to speak. I won't take you back as a wife, because unfortunately nensa, but I will allow you to go and return to your father's home or wherever you live. Anyway, that's the nisach in the ksuba. Because of the fact that we have this distinction, the Gemara wants to know whether these lishoinos, these different texts, have other broader halachic ramifications. What do you mean? What happens if an almona married a kohen gadol, or a kohen gadol married an almona? Can you believe that? But if theoretically, chas v'sholem, a kohen gadol married an almona, or for that married a lechoira, a kohen hedget marries a grusha, and unfortunately she's taken into captivity, what's the din? Zokt Abaye Chayiv Leftoisa, his requirement to redeem her still applies. He won't be able to take her back as a wife for two reasons. Number one, because she was Nansa. But even before that, I have a pre-existing reason, and that is a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an Almona, as well as a Kohen Hedget not allowed to marry a Grusha. Zokt the Gemara, it doesn't matter. Shani koyreba, because I can continue reading in the ksuba, ubekehenis adrinoch limdinoseich, like we learned in our Mishnah. So therefore, if a kohen gadol were to theoretically marry an almana, and of course he's over all types of isurim, but if that's what he did, and now the goyim came and took her into captivity, and now the question is, there's the kohen gadol, do I have to redeem her or not? After all, I can't take her back for a wife, for two good reasons. Fine, but you still have a requirement to be poyder, because it says, Adrinach lemdinaseich, I'm going to return you back to your Medina. Or yes, Barry.
Is it going to be a Yekiva about Kedushin Tofum Chai Delavin, whether or not there's even a Veil Ksuba at all, or is that going to come up?
It's not going to come up today. Perhaps going to come up another day.
Because he would hold that you don't...
Yes, you're absolutely right. According to Rabbi Kiva, it wouldn't be Toifus B'chla. Yes, Rabbi Kol.
So in other words, you're saying right now that the Kedushin that they had was not Toifus, but the Kohen Gadol marries Almona, so why should he have to go be put into her?
So that's Rabbi Konya is there good. And that's what Barry. Yes, Al Pishnaim Aidem Yukum Davar. Both of you are saying the same thing.
I just want to find out.
No, according to Rabbi Kiva, the Kedushin is not Toifus at all. They're not even married. The whole thing is just a fraud, if you will. The only ones that made money were the musicians and the caterer and the photographer. But Lamais said they had no business getting married because it's not even Toifus.
Is the Machloikas by Rabbi Kiva saying that is Toifus the Kedushin?
There's a Machloikas between Rabbi Kiva and all the other Chachomim whether the Chayovi Lavin is the Kedushin Toifus. But Chayiv Akrisis, everybody agrees the Kedushin is not Toifus. Anyway, that's talking about an Issa Kahuna. What about a Mamzeres and a Sinali Yisrael? Can you marry? Can you imagine a Yisrael married a Mamzeres? He's Oyver Naveira. Le'yuvim Mamzer Bekal Hashem. This is not just a one-time Aveira. Every time he lives with her, he's Oyver the Din of living with a Mamzeres. And guess what happened? Goyim went and took her into captivity, and we are of course choishish that cholila v'chas she was ne'ensa. Does he have to go and redeem her? The answer is ein chayv l'vtoisa. Why? Because since the text in the ksuba is v'usvinach lili insu, that after I go and redeem you, I will take you back as my wife. He cannot take her back as his wife because she's a mamzeres u'nesina. So since she ain't any koyr above v'usvinach lili insu, therefore, Einoi Chayev Lif Toysa.
How did he give the Ksuba L'chathila?
At the time that they got married, how did he give her a ring L'chathila? He was Oyver Nisa. Exactly, he had no right marrying her. But the person, one second, if a person does marry a Mamzeris, even though he's Oyver a terrible Isser, but nevertheless, the Kedushin is Toyfus. The Kedushin is valid. It's a wrongful thing. It's a terrible thing that he did. But it's still an enforceable Kedushin. And if he wants to go and send her away, he has to give her a get. If he doesn't give her a get, and she goes and marries somebody else, it's on Suras, Suras, Mit Mamzayim, and all types of Isur.
What's this? She's already Mamzara. She's like a double.
So it can't get worse. Can't get worse. Like she can go and marry an Evid. If he marries an Evid, then the children will.
So it's because of the language of the Ksuba that he's not going to take her back anyway if she's taken captive,
yeah.
If she's kidnapped, that he has to redeem her. But if it were not for that, then she'd be like a Mamzeris, and he would not be able to take her, but he would not be Chayev to redeem her. And we're saying any Jew married to a Mamzeres,
yes.
since it does not have to redeem her.
Does not have the chiv, the obligation to redeem her, because the chiv is as evidenced in the ksuba, and the ksuba says that after I redeem you, I'm taking you back as my wife. Since he cannot take her back as his wife, therefore the whole clause in the ksuba is ineffective. We white it out, it doesn't exist, and he doesn't have to be pointed.
But if the kedushin is tofes if we say the kedushin is tofes, why are we saying the ksuba?
These are two separate dinim. Then kedushin is tofes by al chiv ilavin, except according to the Akiva. But Gabi, this clause inside the Ksuba that says, I take upon myself to go and redeem you and take you back as my wife, he cannot take her back as his wife, and therefore he doesn't have to redeem her. That's what it says.
Ksuba, the first time though, it says, I'm taking you to be my wife.
Yes.
So if that, if he's not allowed to do it, but we still say, it's
exactly.
why does he get off the hook here? It's like,
Kedushin toivs machayuv elav. This tonight Ksuba is that I only have to redeem you if I take you back as my wife, and he can't take her back as his wife.
I only have to redeem if I take you back.
Exactly. That's why Abai is learning pshat. For kinach, I will redeem you, and what will happen? Vosvinach li liyim, so I'll take you back.
And how come he can't take her back the same way she was before?
He wasn't allowed to do it the first time either. Absolutely, 100%.
Is in
gerach.
Separate avera.
Exactly. This is an iser of chayuv ilavin. The din of ksuba, according to most of the amiruim and the gemara, is only derabbanon. It was a machloikis with derabbanon, deraisa, but derech klali holds derabbanon. So therefore, the rabbanon were masak in the ksuba. And one of the clauses in the ksuba is that when it comes to the din of pirkuna, it's only vayisvinech lalian. So if I take you back as a wife, here I can't take her back as a wife, and therefore this clause falls away. That's how Abaye learns. Rav Omar, kol she iser shviya goyrim la chayv leftoisa. Iser dover acher goyrim la ein chayv leftoisa. Rav says that these clauses in the Ksuba were not meant to be as broad as Abaye is learning. They're only meant to cover the isurim and the dinim of shviya. Shviya means a shvuya. Here the Gemara uses the Hasidish expression. Instead of shvuya, it says shviya, netayit. Anyway, so kosher, that doesn't make a difference. Kosher is a shviya goyrim lo. If the problem in returning to the fold has to do with shviya, then chayv leftoisa, then he has to go and be poider. Is it over acher goyrim lo, ain't a chayv leftoisa? What is Rava coming to argue with Abaye? Rava says, the case of the mamzeres unesina li Yisrael, I agree with you that since I cannot be makayim voisvinach li inso, Potter from being poitim. I'm only arguing legabe the Eishes Koyin, where Abaye said that if there's a pre-existing Isser of Alman Lekoyin Godoil, Chayiv Leftoisa. Why? Because it says in the Ksuba, Afer Kinach, Ahadrinach, Lemdinoseich, that after I go and I am poirik, I am poide you, you'll return to your Medina. Isach by Alman Lekoyin Godoil, she'll also return to her Medina. Says Rabbi 9. If it's the Issa Shavir Goyram law, then Chayv Lefdoisa. If the only problem that exists is the fact that she may have been Ne'ensa, and therefore she's now Asura Labala, then I agree, state in the Ksuba, he has to be poyrik, he has to go be poyder, adrinach lebedinotzach, I will send you back to your Medina. However, this is a dover acher garim la. If there's another pre-existing yisr, what was the existing yisr of the almanu lekoyin godoil, then ein lechayv leftois, he does not have to be poyder, because this whole marriage was a marriage violating the law, and therefore, this loshen of adrinach lebedinotzach was not geared for that purpose. It was only for purposes of a shvuya dikadin. But the gabi on one of the kohen gadol, he's off the hook. He doesn't have to be poida at all. And therefore, this machlokes abaye v'ruva focuses only on the case of the text of the aishas kohen, whether or not if there is an existing isla on the kohen gadol, whether or not he has to be poida, yes or no. Zokti mor limikat tanoim. Let us say that this machlokes abaye v'ruva is also machlokes tanoim between Reb Leizer and Reb Yishia. What's the machlokes? Shteitach in a braisa hamadir es ishtoi v'nishbis. A person who makes a neder to his wife not to have any more hanua from her or to give hanua to her. He doesn't want to have any more hanua. And Rashi says a little bit later on that therefore he's going to have to give a get. Unless, of course, he's mataneder. But if he's not mataneder, he'll have to give a get because he's not allowed to have hanua. He's not allowed to live with her. And therefore, their marriage basically is over. Benishbis, and in the middle of this whole parish, unfortunately, some goyim came and took her into captivity, into gefengenish, as we used to say in Yiddish. Rebleza says, you have to go and be poida, and you give her the ksuba. In other words, I cannot take her back as a wife, because I was madir hanno, therefore I'm poida her, and I give the ksuba. Rebshu oimer, noisl ksubasa veina poida. He only gives the ksuva, and he doesn't have to do the pigeon. What's the reason? The Gemara will explain shortly. Anyway, so we have machlokes Reb Leizer and Reb Yeshua, whether there is a chiyuv of pediyah or not a chiyuv of pediyah. Reb Nusin says, she'alti esimchas, kishe'omer Reb Yeshua, and Reb Yeshua said in this braisa, that noisle ksuvasa ve'ena poida, gesundheit. The Braisa only said, Hamader es ishtoi v'nishbis. I want to know when the neder took place. Did the neder take place? Before the nishbis, before she was taken into captivity? Or post she was taken into captivity? So you're wondering, what's the difference? Zok v'yimara. Is it talking about kishe hedira l'psoif nishbis? Or yibin nishbis v'l'psoif hedira? In other words, does it make a difference when he was mader, whether he made the neder before, or made the neder afterwards? L'choyer, in both cases, he and she are now osser to each other as a result of this neder. Doesn't make a difference. The Omali and Tzumcha said, Lo yishamati. I did not hear clearly what Rabbi Yeshua said. However, if you're asking me, I'll be svara, v'nirin hadvarim, I will tell you svaradik, shehidira v'lepsoif nishbis. That it's only talking in a case where the neder came first, and the shviya came later on. Why? The Amrit Nishmis, if you're telling me that she was taken to captivity first, and afterwards they made a neder, then he might come to do harama. What do you mean that he's going to do harama? Because we said yesterday in the Mishnah, what's the halacha about a woman that was taken into captivity? What happens if the husband says they're asking for ransom of $1 million? I can't afford $1 million. You know what? Here's your get, here's your ksuba. Goodbye, Charlie, you worry about the ransom. Said in our Mishnah, Einoi Rishui, he's not allowed to go and do that. Why is he not allowed to go and do that? Because he has a chiyuv based on his ksuba to go and be poyriker. So he can't go and just say, forget about it, here's your ksuba, we're done. He said in the Mishnah that he could do that legabi refuah. So we spoke about the Toisus yesterday on the Amud Beis. The Toisus says that there's a difference between inyoni refuah and inyoni pidyon, because here he had been receiving the payrois, the income from the real estate now for the last few years. Therefore, it's been a cheshbin godoil. Now he is asked to do quid pro quo, to go and be mafarik, to go and be poider. He has to now keep his part of the bargain. Mashenke the Gabri Fu, which is a tolda of Mizoinis, like we said yesterday. Anyway, so now since it says in the Mishnah that if a wife was taken to captivity, the husband must go and redeem her. He has no choice. He cannot just say, here's a get in the ksuba, goodbye. He has another Eitzah. What's the other Eitzah? He can go and make a neder. And he can go and say, no, I'm not allowed to live with you anymore, never allowed to have a noah. if you're going to go and say that a country be sure, ain't a poidi, doesn't have to be poider, so I have another loophole to get around the halacha of our Mishnah. And therefore, says the Gemara, he's going to make this harama. All of a sudden, he's going to say, I didn't like her anyway. I'm happy the goyim took her into captivity. I make a neder. I don't want to have any hanua from her and nothing to do with her anymore. Zakti Mora, that's going to be harama, and that's why we won't allow that.
Why else would he be doing that? Here she's captured, all of a sudden. They didn't even have a fight. You know, I mean, it was.
That's the haramas. You're dramatizing it even more.
But it's saying like it's possibly to be a harama. What other reason would somebody do such a thing?
Well, it could be that the relationship was kind of frail and fragile as it is. You know,
he could have been happy.
No,
he
should say, she got captured.
Anyway, Lama says, human emotions can be tricky. But getting back to our Gemara, so bottom line is, it's mistaver, says the Gemara. As Zoyi Zokter said, Sumchus, it's mistaver that Rabbi Shua is only talking about a case where there was a pre-existing neder, not that he's making a brand new neder now. Okay, now, that's the end of the Braisa, that's the end of the Pshat and Rabbi Shua. Now the Gemara wants to establish, why do I assume that the Machloikis Abaye Varava is the same Machloikis as Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Shua? Zokter, my love, isn't the machloikis over here between Rav and Rishua, even though it doesn't say, it just says a mother is ishbay v'nishbis, isn't it talking about mother ishis koyin kamifugi, that there's a koyin over here, and the koyin was the one that was mother es ishtoy. So what's the machloikis now? The Abaye di omek Rav Lezer, v'rova di omek Rav Yishua. And Abaye holds a Rav Lezer that he does have to be poider. Rava is holding like Rav Yishua that he does not have to be poider. Why am I saying it has anything to do with a Koyin and Yisrael? Well, what's going on over here? It's very, very simple. Because if he made a neder and now he's poider her, can he go and take her back, Li'insu, as a wife? Mm. No, because he made a neder not to have any more Hanu'ah from her. And unless he's Mater Neder, we have to go to Bezin to write out a get and to say goodbye, Charlie. So it's not going to be a case of Havali Li'insu, I'm going to take her back as my wife. He cannot take her back as
his
wife.
He can't change his mind?
He can change his mind. He could go to Bezin and be Mater Neder. But until he goes to be Mater Neder, he's not allowed to. And if he's not Mater Neder, then he's stuck. He has to go and get rid of her.
Why is it a docha to proportion to this specific narrow situation?
I'm sorry?
Well, Abaye and Rava had a beautiful case without being dolphin.
So beautiful that a Kohen got married on Mona. Yisrael marries a Mamzeres.
A straightforward case. It was talking about
You're trying to distinguish between the two. But the Mora at the moment is trying to show that the two are the same. After that, you'll ask your distinction.
Okay.
So let's go and see what the commonality is, the parallel between the two. Just like in the Machlokes Abaye v'Rava, we're talking about that there is an Isur to be united, to be husband and wife. The Kohen, the Isur, is Amon of the Kohen Gadol. The Israel is Mamzeresin of the Israel. But by the Kohen's text, it's easier than the Israel's text. Because the text of the Kohen is, I don't have to take you back as a wife. I only have to take you back Limdino Sech. And then you're free to do whatever you want. But by Israel, it's So therefore, if this machloikis in the Breiser Blazer Bishua is talking about an Eishes Yisrael, why would there be a difference between a Blazer and a Bishua in both cases? After he's poided her, he could not take her back voisvinach lili insu, because he made a neder not to have any more hanav from her. And therefore, it's curtained. That's the end of the line. And therefore, in that case, both Abaye and Rava both agreed, Einoi chayv leftoisi, doesn't have to go and be poider her. So why does Reb Lezer say you do have to be poider? The whole machlokes was only by an Eishes Kohen between Abaye and Rava. So that's probably the machlokes here too. Reb Lezer holds like Abaye, and he says even though he is asid himself from her, it makes no difference, because he's not taking her back as a wife. He's only taking her back to the Medina, the Medina Seich. Oh, he has the chiyuv to be poider. Let him be poider. Take her back, not to his home, somewhere else in town, to her Medina. Rava, the Amrik Rabbi Yeshua, was Dr. Rabbi Yeshua. What is Dr. Rava? Rava says that any time the Isser is a Dover Achadiki Isser, in a Chayv Liftoisa, you don't have to be poida. So therefore, even though by an Almonel Lekoyin Godel, I could be Makayim the words of the Ksuba, Ahadrinach Lemdino Seich, however, said Rava, those words were coined, and those words were put together by the Rabbanan only to take care of the shivuya situation, not to take care of other isurim, and therefore, says Rava, that whole clause is not effective. See here too, since he put upon himself this neder not to go and live with his wife anymore, so then, therefore, even though I could be mekayim adrinach l'mdinaseich, but that wasn't intended to address these issues, only to address shavuya issues, and therefore, says Rabbi Yeshua, like Rava, that in fact he does not have to be poyder, even though I could have taken her back l'mdinaseich. Is the chayra a good raya that Abai v'Rava, Rabbi Leizer, and Rabbi Yeshua? But more like Yosnish karay. It's not that he made the neder, she made the neder. She said, I don't want to have any hanu'ah from my husband anymore. So the practicality is that also you'll have to go and give her a get. However, we know the famous halacha that a husband can mefer the neder of his wife. So when she made this neder, if he wanted to keep her, and he didn't want to be stuck with such a terrible outcome of a neder, he could have been mefer. But he didn't. Apparently, it was kemayim ponim el ponim. She wasn't so happy with him. Apparently, he wasn't so happy with her. And therefore, v'kayim lo. How is he kayim? Says Rashi. Either he affirmatively said, I allow for your neder, I think it's a wonderful idea, I haven't heard such pearls of wisdom emanating from your mouth for so many years, this neder is great, he's Makayim. Or, says Rashi, he was just quiet for the full 24-hour period, B'yoyim Shomai. He heard her make the neder, and he didn't say anything. If Hechrish lo B'yoyim Shomai, we know, automatically the Shavua, the neder, is Makayim.
If he's Makayim, isn't he giving her Hana by being Makayim?
That Hana is okay. Anyway, Zotim so now, what's the Machlokes? The Machlokes is, who is the guilty party that is going to have to be a get here, and they cannot continue living it together? Is it she, or is it he? She is, of course, the person that made the neder, but he is the one that was Makayim the neder. Yeah, no, don't be nervous. It'll all come very clear shortly. Jacques Dimar. Reb Lezer Savar, who noisen etzba ben shineha, who meaning the husband, this is of course a metaphorical term. We don't mean literally he puts his fingers inside teeth, but Dimar uses a metaphor that he went and put a euphemistic term, who noisen etzba ben shineha, by the fact that he was Mekayim the Neder, he was the one that put his finger between her teeth, and therefore he should be very careful that Chas v'Shalom she shouldn't bite his finger off. Rabbi Shua Savar, he nosna etzva beishineh. She was the one that put her finger in her own teeth, because she's the one that made the neder. Meaning, what does the Gemara mean to say with this? Says Rabbi Lezer, since he was the one that caused that this neder should be mekuyim, by the fact that he was quiet, he cannot go and use this bad act, so to speak. It shouldn't be a choytenisker type of situation. He shouldn't be off the hook for having to be poyder to her. He should have been mater or made for the neder. He wasn't made for the neder. He's the one that is guilty, so to speak, in this neder in Inyan. And therefore, he still has to be poyder to her. Masha Enkid, Zokter Bishua. No, she's the guilty party. She's the one that made the neder. He ignored it. He said, yeah, let her say, well, she talks so much nonsense all day, so she make a neder, who cares? And he was Mekayim. But the Maisa, she was the one that made the neder. So therefore, now the Issa that they cannot be together is not his fault. He said, it's your fault. And therefore, ain't a poyde, doesn't have to be poyde.
It's your fault.
Yeah, everybody points to the other guy. Anyway, so bottom line is, so the Machlokes has nothing to do with a Bayi V'Rava. But Frank, you want to no. That's teretz. Sounds good superficially, but I have two challenges. Question number one: Ihi nos the etzba bishinel. If she is the one that made the neder, ksuba my avidita. Then what's the inyan of paying her the ksuba? What do I mean? Look what Rabbi Yeshua says. Rabbi Yeshua Omer noisin lo ksuvasa. The inyan party. You hand over the get and the ksuba. He doesn't have to be paid. How could she go and take the ksuba? She was the one that said, "I'm not going to have any more hanoah from you." So, how can she accept the ksuba of the 200 or whatever it says in the ksuba? After all, she was mater, she made a neder, she was madir not to have a no from her husband. She's not allowed to go and accept the ksuba.
Is that to get a
hanoah? To get $200 when you're not entitled to it, but it's a lot of hanoah. Yeah. Look at all the people that are so happy when they win the lottery.
Yeah,
You see? It's a tremendous hana. They get money.
Is that hana, or is that something she owned already before? Is that from her husband, or is that before her marriage?
There was a contractual obligation, but now, through her neighbor, she has violated that contractual obligation by saying, I don't want anything from you. You stay away from me. I don't want anything at all. So I don't have to pay you back the 200. We said, we ask that question. However, but it's mistaver, we're talking about a case of Hedira first and Nishbe second, because otherwise it would be Harama. And you remember how Brother Shai dramatized it beautifully, that Harama is afterwards, he makes a ganze spiel because they were in good terms, as Brother Shai said so beautifully before. Izokti Moriat, the Ida Nodre E, if you're talking about that she made the neder, Mali Hedira of Saif Nishbis, Mali Nishbis of Saif Hedira, what difference does it make if the neder came first or the neder came second? If he is the one that made the neder, then there's a svara to say that he made the neder after the maisa shviya. Why did he do that? Al tzharama. So he should get off the hook. He shouldn't have to go and pay. I understand that. But if she's the one making the neder, it doesn't make a difference if she made it before. If she didn't make it after, she obviously didn't have any ulterior motives to stay as a captive forever and ever, so it doesn't make a difference. Is the Vaita says the Gemara, so you're right. We go back to the original Pshat, El Li Oilam, the Adra Ihu. He was the one that made the neder, not she. So this whole Pshat falls away. Now you were saying, but maybe the machloikis of Blazer Rebshu is the same machloikis of Abaye v'Rava. So the Gemara, no. V'Abaye Mataris Latame, Abaye says both of these Mandiyamrim can go according to me. V'Rava Mataris Latame, and Rava says the same thing. Abaye Mataris Latame, Amon Likoyin Godel Kuliyamalei Pligi, the Chayav Loftois, says Abaye, both Rebblezer and Rebshu would agree with me that Amon Likoyin Godel Chayav Loftois, because it says in the Ksuba that after Afar Kinoch, Adrinach Limdina Seich, I'm going to return you back to your Medina, and that works with Amon Lekayin Godel. She can go back to her Medina. She can't go back to him. She'll go back to the Medina. And therefore, he does have to be paid. In the case of Mazer Zesin in Yisrael, everybody would agree you don't have to be poida because he cannot take her back and he cannot be Mekayim v'usvinach li li'insu. So, Ibazoisu, what's the machloikis? Machloikis is going to be Madir Eishis Koyin. Oh, not yet. Madir Eishis Koyin, if you're talking about a Koyin, where you have a question that he was Madir, also Kuliyam Leplikin the Chayv Lev Doisa. Why is Chayv Lev Doisa? Because this is a Bayer Lishitosoi, that this case of a Madir by a Koyin is the Hainu Al Monel Koyin God. It's the same type of situation. That the Isur of the wife going back to the husband is not only because of perhaps she was Nensa and an Anusa is a Surah Labala, but there is another problem. The other problem is either the Almon Lekoyin Godel problem or it's a Nader problem, but they're both the same. And what did Abaye say? Since Hadrinach Medina Seich, no problem, I'll take him back to the Medina, and therefore he has to be Poyder. So keep linking, so with Machlech Reb Lev Yeshua, the Madhe Eishes Yisrael. Ah, so what's the machlekes? Reb Lezer ozel baser meikara, Reb Yeshua ozel baser besoiv. Reb Lezer says, I go back to the origins, to the beginning. And what means to the beginning? This meikara means at the time that they wrote out the ksuba. At the time of the wrote out ksuba, it says in it that if chas v'sholom you're taken into captivity, afar kineich, I'm going to redeem you. Voisvinach lilian su. That's what was kiveya, the din of the pidyon. Says Reb Lezer, that contractual obligation is still here with us, and therefore he has to go and be poyder. And even though he cannot take her back because of the neder, maskim, but I go meikara, the original obligation that was set forth in the ksuba required me to go and be poida, I still gotta be poida. Rabbi Shua says, mister, that was talking then, but now we're talking now. Now there's a neder. The neder forces him and her to get divorced. They cannot get back together unless they're matinated. And therefore, it's no longer a kiyum of a svinach liliyinsu, and therefore you don't have to be poidim. How is this case different than the Amon Lekoyin Godel case, Lamashal? Because Reb Lezer says, by the Amon Lekoyin Godel case, even Meikara, they could never have gotten back together. Now, I shouldn't talk about Amon Lekoyin Godel because there's only Medina Sech. So let's talk about the case of Mamzeres Hasinu Yisrael. By Mamzeres Hasinu Yisrael, if he married this Mamzeres, he never should have married her. He was guilty of a terrible crime. He's over a lav. But he did it. And it's enforceable because Kedushin Toysu Chayav Laman, Barry will say, and Rabbi Cohen will say, except for Rabbi Akiva, maskim. But otherwise, he's doing a terrible iser. That being the case, he never had the right of vois vinach lili insu. From the first moment, those words from the first moment were bad words which made no sense, which were violating the law. I cannot go and redeem you and take you back liinsu. Therefore, ein chayv leftoisa. However, in our situation, we're talking about a neder. By a neder, at the time of the original ksuba, he had every right to go and take her back liinsu. There was, in fact, there was probably a lot of ahava rabba and ahavas oilam bein the chusin and the kala. Of course, he was allowed to. Now the situation has changed because in a neder says, "Rabbi Elazar, go basa meikara the original lashon. I ignore the present circumstances." And Rabbi Yeshua says, "No basa b'soif. Look at what's going on now." So therefore, says Abaye, both of them can hold like me. Rav Mataz the Tami Rav says both of them can hold like me, and we start again. Aman lekoyin gadol mamzer esimus Yisrael. In both of those cases, Zokta Chrava Chuliyamale pliga di ene chayv levdoisi. You don't have to be poydim, because that's what Rava said at the top of the Amud, that kol she iser shviya goyim lo chayv levdoisa iser dover acher goyim lo. There's another existing iser ene chayv levdoisa. So everybody would agree. I have another Isser over here. I'm one of the Kohen Gadol Isser, Mamzer Si Yisrael. It's a little Isser, therefore, ain't a chayv. Keep league with the Machlek. It's been madir. And the Machlek is Bein Eishis Kohen, U Bein Eishis Yisrael. Reb Lezer Sol is also Bosa Meikar. He says at the original outset when they wrote this Ksuba, was he, the husband, allowed to go and live with his wife? Yeah, by regular kiddushin, of course they were allowed to live together. A koyin with a regular psula, a koyin god with a regular psula, a koyin hedjit with a regular woman, even if she was a ba'ula, but as long as she's not a gerusha. So he was, everything was mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. Same thing is, by the Israeli, married a regular Israelis, no problem. Then you're chayiv levtoisa. So even though now it's aser, because now there's a neder, a go basa meikara. Bishua says, I don't care that originally when they married everything was hunky-dory. I'm looking at the situation today. Today they cannot get together because there's a neder. If that's the case, then Rabbi Yeshua says, "Ein chayv leftoisa, because I cannot be mekayim the asvinach lilian soon." Okay, talking about yetzvaita nishvis chayv leftoisa. What the Gemara is going to address now is the issue of, we know that the husband has to go and redeem his wife. Do the yesoimim have to go and redeem the almana if the husband passes away? Now naturally, if you're talking about it, that's their mother, you would say this is a very strange thing. Wouldn't children redeem their mother from captivity? The obvious answer is it doesn't have to be their mother, it could be their stepmother. Because the husband had multiple wives, the husband passed away, he no longer can redeem his wife, the wife was taken into captivity. Do the assignment, who could be the children of another wife, do they have to go and redeem her or not? And that's the Gemara Shaila. It's also going to depend on when did the husband die, earlier or later, as we'll see in the Brayse. It's Tanur Rabbanan. Nishbis b'chayi bala. What happens if she was taken into captivity when the husband was still alive? V'yachkach meis bala, and then subsequently the husband died. Hikr b'bala. If the Baal knew about this, hikr b'bala means that it was brought to his attention, and he knew that his wife was taken into captivity. So therefore, he had a chiyuv whilst he was still alive. And then Nebuch, he passed away. Maybe the reason why he passed away is never because he heard this terrible, terrible news. But anyway, but bottom line is he passed away. So then the Yorshim do have the chiyuv. Yorshim chayyavim leftoisa, because they are not only yarshining the estate, the yarshining the obligations of the estate. And one of the obligations was that the father had to be poida the wife. No. So they have to go and fulfill that obligation. However, what happens if the husband did not know about it? He might have even been living, but the word didn't get to him and he passed away. Ein yosh chayom levdoisa, then they're not chayiv to go and be poydim. What is the reason for that? Because since this was not an obligation that materialized, that the husband was aware of whilst he was alive, therefore this contractual obligation is not an obligation on the children and they're off the hook.
Why is it not an obligation if he doesn't know about it? If something happens that I'm not, and I'm legally responsible for, and I'm not aware of, does that void my responsibility?
So you're not happy with this brisa?
No.
Okay. So Levi Sovel Mevet Uptikyob Masnisa. Levi wanted to follow this brisa and say, okay, if the father didn't know about it, the yisomer off the hook. Omeli Rav, Hachi Omer Chavivi. Rav said in the name of who's Chavivi? Reb Chiya. Why was he called Chavivi?
Double uncle.
He was an uncle from both sides, both paternal and maternal, as we've had a number of times. Ikras Mesechus Psachim and Daftalit, but the Umar brings it from time to time. Anyway, so he said, this is what my favorite uncle Reb Chiya said. Les Ilchazaki Amasnisa. I don't like that. Like Barry just said, I'm not happy with that price. So we talk, don't pass him like that price. Ella. Like another bride. Nishbis the Acham, he says, Bala, if she was Nishbis after the husband passed away. It's already after. And you say, Yisayim are off the hook. Veloy oit, Ella feel a Nishbis v'chayi Bala, v'yachakach meis Bala, even if she was Nishbis when the husband was still alive, and the husband only died after that. Ain't I Yisayim chayav on the vdoise, she ain't any koyri ba. Since, as we said in the previous Gemara, that the whole din of pidyon is interlocked with this other requirement of taking her back as a wife. And that's why, if it's Mamzeres in Israel, everybody agrees, off the hook. And that's why the Gabi Neder, we had the whole Machloikis, Beikarul, beside. But over here, he cannot take her back as a wife because he's already in Gan Eden. He's already in the Bismed Shalmala, learning this Gemara, but he's not able to go and live with his wife anymore. So then they're off the hook. And notice this Brisa does not distinguish between Hikar Babala or Loi Hikar Babala. If the Baal passed away at any time from beginning to end in this whole process, the Yisoyim do not have to go and be Poida because he can't be Mekayim, Vasvinach Lili and Tzum. Tan Rabbanon Nishbis, she was never taken into captivity. Ad they were asking for a huge ransom, up to 10 times her normal value. Pam Rishona poida. Nevertheless, he still has to be poida, even though they're asking for a humongous figure. First time, he has to be poida. Mikan ve'elach, but after that, Ratza poida, ratza ena poida. If they take her into captivity a second or a third time, then he's off the hook, because what we're going to do is incentivize kidnappers to kidnap Yiddish women, and each time you're going to have to pay this huge ransom. Only one time, not more than once.
So even one time should be a
Reb Shimon Gamliel Oimer, ein poidin se shvu in yois al kidei demayim. Then they take an oilem. Zoktor Barry, like Reb Shimon Gamliel, that you don't have to be paid any shavui more than their kidei demayim, more than their value, whatever they can be sold in the shuk. That's their value. That's how much you have to be paid. When they tikkun oilam, what's the tikkun oilam? Says Rashi, shlo yargilu lahalois al demayin. Because if you're going to allow for humongous ransoms, then the kidnappers will have major financial incentives to go and kidnap Jewish women. So now that makes a lot of sense, and the Gemara is now medayik habachtei demayin paid. But it's mashma that the amount that she is worth, you taka have to be paid. Avagav de bekuna yoisal ksuvasa. Even though her ksuba is only 200, she may be worth 1,000. Nevertheless, you have to pay more than the ksuba. You have to pay the 1,000. That's a very strong raya from this price. But the more many, I have a kasha for you. Nishbis, what happens if she was taken into captivity? Ad asura b'ksuvasa, up to 10 times the ksuba, like we said, not 10 times her value. 10 times the ksuba. Pam rishayin a poida. First time you have to be poida. Mikan ve'elach rotz a poida, rotz ain a poida. Like the Tanakhama said in the previous brisa. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer im hayah perkuna kineged ksuvasa poida. If the amount of the pidyon was the amount of the ksuba up to 200, poida, no problem. Im lav, but if it's more than that, ain a poida. But we just said now, based on the first brisa, that it's totally whether it's kidei demayim or not kidei demayim. But if it's kidei demayim, even if that is more than the value of the ksuba, he still has to be poida. Yet in this brisa, we say, no. The maximum is the amount of the ksuba. So Reb Shimon Gamliel, make up your mind. What do you hold? And for the Amor, he holds both. Reb Shimon Gamliel, trei kuli islay. Therefore, Reb Shimon Gamliel says that the total amount that you have to pay to be poida your wife is the lesser of the following two standards. Number one, the amount of her ksuba. You never have to pay more than the ksuba. Number two, you never have to go and pay more than she is really worth. So therefore, if she is worth more than the ksuba, the maximum that you have to be poida is the amount of the ksuba. If she's worth less than the ksuba, The maximum you have to pay is her value. You don't even have to go up to the amount of the ksuba.
And if he divorces her, can you deduct the ransom from the ksuba?
Subsequently. You're saying subsequently.
Yeah.
So that's a stomach question. It has nothing to do with argument. You're just saying it's a general matter.
Well, because then basically what we're saying is that he's hired in the pocket for a ransom is the ksuba money. Yeah. And if he pays it out, it's deducted from his...
No. The chayyid, it's not deducted at all. Remember, we had in the Gemara before that pirkuna is kineged the payers.
Right.
That's a separate chiyuv besides the 200 or 100 that you have to pay al siksuma. Yeah,
we said earlier that if she dies, then he has to bury her in a procession that is fitting for
his covenant and her covenant.
Right. So now when it comes to redeeming her, we're saying only up to what the ksuba says.
Only up to
life is more important than death.
Very good.
But remember that the Bryce, both Bryces said, they tikkun olam. Tikkun olam is that they were afraid that people are going to ask for tremendous ransom. This became a very, very hot issue, and unfortunately a very, very tragic issue in the times of Marami Rutenberg. Marami Rutenberg was taken by Ganovan, by kidnappers, and taken into captivity. And they, of course, since Marami Rutenberg was considered to be the good Hadar, they asked a fantastic sum, it's $100 million or whatever the equivalent was. And Marami Rutenberg issued a psak from his captivity: you're not allowed to go and pay a penny over my value, and do not pay these crazy ransoms, don't do it. And the kidnapper said, we're not going to release him. And Rutenberg said, don't pay. And unfortunately, he died in jail. He died in captivity by the guy.
And then they ran through his body, though.
I believe that's true, presumably for a much lesser amount. Yeah. Anyway,
he did the psalm.
It's only the Israelis are going to pay more if it's Nebuch. Yeah, Rahman Islam. Yeah.
He allowed them to ransom up to his value, or nothing at all?
That I don't remember the historical facts. You have to ask Yair. Yair used to learn with us every day, and he's the resident historian on all Talmudic historic issues. Anyway, beginning back to Agamar, it's a kundra b'shem gamliel, thick and oilum, the maximum is the either the ksuba or her value, whichever one is less.
Someone allowed to lawyer a ksuba, in other words, or is this just not, you have to use the mabeya of the chachamim, in other words,
the only additions that you can add is the gabi, those additional nadins, right. Or if he wants to do toisis ksuba. Besides the 200, you can say, I know, you only have to give 200, but I also promise you to go and give you $1 million and the Empire State Building.
For whatever amount.
And the Brooklyn Bridge.
Right.
Yeah, okay. No, he can do whatever he wants. You can go and add. You can subtract. You can add to the ksuba.
And just a small, as long as we're on the topic. So ksuba is 200 zuz.
Right.
So we're talking about zuz like a silver coin. So now ksuba is...
Ramosha has a chew about that. His Heinek or Amarcha Tendler asked him that it's not really a practical issue today because it's whatever they negotiate ultimately in Bezin or in court after spending, you know, $1 million on lawyers, etc., etc. But he asked him what is... assuming that you'd go based on the ksuba itself. So Moshe has a whole tshuva, what that would mean in today's currency. Ayin Shem.
Rabbi Riskin once suggested, I heard him speak, it was cool, a year's income is what it's about. 200 zuz is the amount an ani would...
Vaisnash, it could be. Vaisnash.
Konzak. $40,000.
I don't know, you have to look in the tshuva. Well, I don't remember the bottom line. But let's continue on. Next part of the Mishnah was Loksa Chayv L'Rapois. If Chas Shalom she becomes sick, he has to pay all the medical bills. Now, it doesn't say that in the Ksuba. It only talks in the Ksuba about Perkuna, about being Poider. It says about Mezoinus. Where does this refuah come from? Turner Abonon, state in the Braisa, Almon and Nezoinim Nechzi Yisoyimim, Utzricha refuah, Harihikim Mezoinus. In other words, refuah is considered to be like a subset of Mezoinus, just like the purpose of Mezoinus is to keep the person alive. So if Chas Shalom, the person is dead, Chas Shalom has a terrible ill, the person is very sick, then you need a refuah to keep them alive. So therefore, refuah is considered to be a subset of Mezoinus. So just like the Alman is Mezoinus Menechsi Yisoyimim, she gets Mezoinus, the Yisoyim have to go and pay her medical bills as well. If it's a refuah sheyesh la kitzva, meaning that there is a set amount, you're able to go to the doctor and negotiate a set amount for a year's medical treatment, it's a refuah sheyesh la kitzva, nisrapes miksuvasa. Then the amount that you have to go and pay is up to the amount of the ksuba, and that's all. You can go and deduct it, I don't know if you can deduct it, but that's up to the amount of the 200. Shein l'kitzva, if it's a type of nebuch machla, that there is no kitzvah, this can go on for years and the amounts can go astronomically high. Harikim mezoinus, the same thing like mezoinus, just like you have to give mezoinus as long as she doesn't remarry and as long as she remains an almana, then you have to go and pay the refuah bills as well.
So nowadays we have insurance premium, so you have to pay the monthly premium.
Hold on, you said as long as she remains an almana, if someone pays the ksuba, then it's over, right? If she collects,
that's a machloikis in minhagim between the Anshe Yerushalayim, the Anshe Golul, and the Anshe Yehuda. Where we're going to learn about this machloikis in the next Mishnah, which we're going to learn in another few lines. Baltam Unkim, it's your point that they can go and just say, here's a ksuba and goodbye. We're going to talk about the next mission.
That's why we've alluded to this already.
Baruch Hashem, but we're going to go now learn it befeirish in the next Mishnah. Om Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan adds, also, Akkadis Dam Be'ez Yisrael, Kirafuah She'ein Lo Kitzva. That to us, of course, our whole Indian of Akkadis Dam sounds very strange. When's the last time you went to a doctor to go and let out blood? But that's because today they have what we call blood pressure tablets and blood pressure pills, and therefore if a person has high blood pressure, you take those pills and hopefully it causes the blood pressure to go down. But in the good old days they didn't have those pills, and therefore the way to go and relieve the blood pressure was to take out some of the blood, so there's less blood to go and pressure. That's why they had the whole Indian of a causes down. Now a person has high blood pressure, as you know, even today they could be taking pills for the rest of their lives. So therefore this is a refuah she'ein lo kitzva. This is never ending, and this is a refuah without having HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chas V'Shalom, the person would die from Ichvais, whatever. And therefore, he'd have a heart attack from the cardiac arrest, because they're pumping too much blood and too much pressure. Okay. Anyway, the Gemara tells us a story that Kravis Rabbi Yechanan, a Korav of Rabbi Yechanan, Havalu Itis Abba, he had the wife of his father. In other words, the father passed away, and this is the Almana who's left over, but apparently it wasn't his mother. It was just another Eishes Ab. That was Richer for Kol Yoyme, she needed refuah every single day. Also, the Kamdar Biyechan of Vostumin, Amlahu, Sir Biyechan, it said, a zilu koitzulu mide leroife. What you should do is try to negotiate a set amount with the roife. It shouldn't be a refuah she'ein la kitzva. Because I said before, refuah she'ein la kitzva, then it's never ending. It's like Kim Zionis. So therefore, try to negotiate a price, and if you negotiate a price, then you can go and keep down your costs. On Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan afterwards had charata. He felt bad about what he did. He said, "Asinu atzmenu ke'orchei adayanim," meaning that I'm supposed to be a judge, and a judge is supposed to go and rule totally
fairly,
now impartially. Shkoyach. Totally fairly and impartially. But instead, I've now become almost like the Oirech Din. Oirech Din, of course, means like a lawyer, and I'm siding with my kroivim to give him etzes that may not be so good for the almana. So, Yemara, what did he think initially, and what did he think at the end? Meikara, when he wanted to help out his mishpacha, to go and give him such an eitzah, some sarcholeit salam, you have to go and worry about your mishpacha. Psaif savar, odom choshev shiny. A person like me, I shouldn't have gotten involved, because then there's going to be the perception that justice is not blindfolded, and it's not impartial, then in fact, if you're related somehow to the judge, then you can get a better deal, and therefore, I shouldn't have done this, I should have stayed away from this.
What's your evidence that Rabbi Yochanan was related to this person? I don't see anything in the Gemara that says he was a Karo.
It says,
two lines before the wide lines.
Thank you.
He was only worried about the perception that it would be biased?
Yes, because this wasn't a real bezin. This was just, he was being asked.
His opinion.
Ex-party, his opinion, right. He gave a legal opinion, an advisory opinion. But people are going to hear, Rabbi Yochanan's a famous judge, and he gives such opinions. He was no longer in the legal profession to go and give etzes. He was supposed to be a judge. In this case, he did give etzes. So people are going to say, the judges are giving etzes, etc., etc. Okay, new Mishnah. Now we're continuing on what we said in the prior Mishnah, that the Tanaim Bezin and the contractual obligations, look in the text of the Ksuba, what does it say? What happens if they left out certain very important clauses, like we had in the previous Mishnah, that he didn't write into the Ksuba that all the Achrai is Nechosim, or they didn't even give a Ksuba, but you have a Ksuba anyway because it's Tanaim Bezin, or he didn't write in the Ksuba Afar Kinach, Vaisvinach, Vaisvinach, etc. All of these things, Chayiv, 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 because it's Tanaim Bezin, even without the document. So Gemara is going to continue now in the same vein. We're going to talk about the famous Ksubas Banan Dichrin and the Ksubas Bnon Nukvan, which we've already not only alluded to, but we've actually learned in some detail. So the Mishnah. Loi kosevla bonin dichron di heva lichaminoi, einen yarsi kesek suva sech, yeser al chokeyen di im achoyen, chayiv shu tunai bezin, even if you didn't write in these magic words. Now what are these magic words? So just to refresh our memories. We have a husband who's married to a wife, and they have already a whole bunch of kids. And now he decides to marry a second wife. Could be that he divorced the first wife, could be that she passed away, or could be he's just taking a second wife in the days prior to the Chemder Ben Gershon. So he's taking another wife now. Now this other wife, she, as well as her father, is concerned that since the custom was to bring a nadin, a dowry, into the mishpacha, into the marriage, so for instance, if the father happens to be a very wealthy individual, he says, he puts into the ksuba that I give my daughter the Empire State Building, and let's assume the Empire State Building is making a lot of money, so he's going to be able to get all these wonderful payrois as long as they are married. What happens if, chas v'sholem, they don't have any children in this marriage? And then she's going to pass away, and the husband is going to yarshin from her the Empire State Building. And then afterwards, the husband's going to pass away. What's going to happen to this Empire State Building? It's going to belong to the yarshim, the yesoimim of the first wife. And therefore, the owner of the Empire State Building says, I don't want to go and give carte blanche just to go and give this to my daughter. And then it's going to be given to his family, to his yesoimim. I want it to remain within the family. Aha. So what is it? Now, that's we're going to the nth degree that there are no children at all. Let's talk about that there happen to be boys. The Baruch Hashem, they do have children, and they're wonderful children, find a B'nai Torah, they all know Shas by heart, wonderful, wonderful chavrus. They're fine. Now the question is, you have a bunch of boys from this wife, and you have a bunch of boys from a previous wife. Now the wife passes away, Empire State Building now belongs to the husband. And then the husband passes away a few years later. If we're going to allow all the yesoimim to go and divvy up the estate proportionately, evenly, let's say there are five children from a previous one and now five boys from the new one, they're going to split it up. Only 50% of the Empire State Building is going to remain with his mishpacha, that is with the wife's mishpacha, and it's not going to go to him, it's going to go to the other kids. So therefore, people were very nervous about that. And that's why they wrote in the Ksuba, Banim Dichrin, the Banim Zecharim, the Hevelichim Inoi, that Amiyat Hashem, you're going to have from me, in other words, we're going to have kids, those boys, Einan Yarsin Kesek Ksuba Sech, they're going to go and get the Yerusha of the Nadin, which I am putting in, which the father-in-law is putting into the Ksuba. Yes, Al Chulkain, the Mechon. In other words, the rest of the estate are going to divide up evenly, but the special Nechosim that I put into this Ksuba, like the Empire State Building, they're going to get the whole thing. So what happens if the Sofer forgot to write it into the Ksuba? He didn't. Nevertheless, Yechad Shetanai Bez, it makes no difference. This is the law, even if it's not written into the contract.
But if it's not listed in the Ksuba, how? And years later, everyone passes away, what's the Bezim going to say? Oh, by the way, this one's the one, prove it. How can you, if something's not written, it comes down, okay, so 50
They will bring old documents showing that this Empire State Building belonged to the father-in-law, never belonged to the husband. So how did it get into the Ksuba? Other people will say, I was there at the time of the negotiations, and I remember that the father-in-law said, I'm bringing the Empire State Building. Of course, you can't prove it, but if you can, you can. Now, B'nog Nukvan, the heaven Lichiminoi, what about if there are girls? The girls, they do not yarshin the Empire State Building, but what rights do they have? The girls that may be born to this marriage, you have Niyasin Bebesi, they can stay in my home, and they can continue eating mezoinis until they get married. Now, what happens if they forgot to write it in the Ksuba? The Gemara is going to ask, why don't we say by Ben Anukvan the same thing would be said by Banan Decharin? Meaning that if Chas V'Shalom, the wife passes away and the husband passes away, and the only ones that we have left are Banois, it should be like Banois Slavchat. Let them get the entire Empire State Building instead of it going to the other boys, the children of other wives. We don't say that. They're only entitled to Mezoinis. They don't have an entitlement to the actual Yerusha itself. The Gemara is going to address that when we get there in Mietz Hashem shortly. Now, what happens if they forget to put in the words Ate Yasu Bebesi Mitzin Menchosei Koyimei Meger Al Menasecha Bebesi Chayv Shutanai Bezin? This is the famous rule that if Chas V'Shalom a husband passes away, the almana can sit residing in that home as long as she wants to, and she can get mezonos as long as she wants to, until she decides to remarry. Even though it doesn't say this in the ksuba, she has this entitlement forever. And in fact, says the Mishnah, kach hoyu anshi yishlaim koisin. That's how the anshi yishlaim would write the words in the ksuba, like we just said. Anshi gol hoyu koisin kanshi yishlaim. The anshi gol, they also followed the anshi yishlaim to write in these words. However, and now we come to Barry's point of a few minutes ago. Anshi Yehuda Yekoisvin, Anshi Rotsu, Anshi Yirtsu, Hayorshin, Litan Loch Ksuva Seich. They would go right into the Ksuva. As long as the Yorshim are prepared to go and support you, Gesundheit. But if the Yorshim say, Shein Genug, she's already been eating for the last 20 years, there's almost nothing left. And by the way, she has a voracious appetite. And she doesn't just eat three times a day. She eats eight times a day. And why? The reason why eight times a day, because she's constantly eating and eating, and therefore she ate a lot. So what happens then? They say, we want to cut this now. They can give her the ksuba. Lefichach mrotzi yorshin. Nois lo ksuvasa. Upoitra noisa. If they want to, they can go and give the ksuba and say, sayonara, geitzahim. This is what Barry was pointing out before. Now, our Gemara doesn't bring, but the Yerushalmi says that the Anshe Yerushalayim and the Anshe Galil had one minhag, and the Anshe Yehuda had a different minhag. Meaning, says the Yerushalmi, the Anshe Yerushalayim and the Anshe Galil, they were more concerned with their kavod than with their money. The Anshe Yehuda, however, were concerned more about their money than their kavod. And so therefore, the Anshe Yerushalayim and the Anshe Gol that were concerned more about their kavod, even though this was perhaps a tremendous drain on their assets to go and have to keep on paying mezonos for so many years, but they didn't want the zilzil that people say, ha ha ha, look at these terrible brats. They threw out this poor almana from the house, and now Nebuch, she's begging, she's homeless, she's standing there in the middle of the street begging for money. They were more concerned about their kavod. Anshe Yehuda said, Kovich Mavid, the Iker is the Geld, the Iker is the money, and therefore, as soon as they were able to go and sever the ties with the Amana, they gave her a ksuba and said, now you worry about collecting for yourself.
It's unusual because Yerushalayim is actually in the area of Yehuda and Binyamin.
Exactly right. That's why I mentioned
it. So Yerushalayim is sort of an island separate from.
If the Anshe Yerushalayim, Anshe Yehuda did the same thing, then we wouldn't have to differentiate. Right. We'd just say the whole Yehuda, including Yerushalayim. Right. Exactly right. Okay. Now, said the Gemara, a lot of the Gemara we've already learned. Why did they go and make this institution? So that a father should go and give a nadin for his daughter, so that he shouldn't be noivis that the daughter is going to lose this entire estate by getting married, and this whole estate will then go to the husband, and the husband will give it to his children from another marriage. And he loses this entire fortune. So therefore, we want just like he's generous to give his sons all types of assets because he knows it belongs to the family, it'll stay in the family. The same thing is, he should be willing to go and give his daughter assets. Brata loytiroit. Vasa rabbanu misakni the tiroit brata. Is it possible that the Torah says that whenever we have banim and banais, everything goes banim, 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 banim? And over here, the Chacham was saying, no, let's give something to the daughters. Now, the Lashon of the Gemara is a little imprecise, because the Gemara is assuming or suggesting that the Rabbanan are misakin the tiroi's brata, that the daughter is yashning. The daughter is not yashning. Mm-hmm. What we're saying is that we're going to diminish and decrease the assets of the estate by first giving part of the assets to the daughter, so that afterwards, when the father passes away, there'll be a much smaller estate, or at least some smaller estate, for the banim. And therefore, the Gemara is saying is, since the intention of the Torah was that the boy should take over the estate, why do we want to incentivize fathers to go and give these major assets, minor assets, to his daughter, and that will diminish the estate eventually when the father passes away? So we don't mean that the Mesakni Tetira is Barah, but we're talking about a present pre-will, or pre-death, that she should go and get it, and therefore diminish from their estate, and as a result, automatically becomes like her inheritance. But it's not really Yerusha, he gave it to her as a present when they were both alive.
Why is this different from any matan a person can give?
Yeah, but it's a special takana. We're not talking about, okay. Of course, any person can do whatever he wants with his asset.
Even if he doesn't write this, it's so strong that even if it's not written, it's presumed.
Number one, and number two, that the Chamul Mesak and the Chamul say, I know what it says in the Torah, that the intention is that the asset should remain for the boys, but I want to go and change the rules, so I'm not going to change it dramatically by saying, Le'achar Misa, split it up 50-50 with the girls. Oh, no! Give the girls in advance, and then the boys will have less. That comes out the same bottom line, same effect. So Gemara, no. Hanami deraisu. This is also minatoy. Again, the words in the Gemara are imprecise, because the Gemara is going to quote now from Nach, not from the Torah, and anything which is Nach is Divrei Kabbalah, but the Gemara means to say is there is at least some basis for this. It's not just that later Chazal came up with this. We already find this concept in the Torah, in the Tanakh. This is in the Pasuk. So we're saying, go, men folk, yidden, marry and have children. Make sure that your boys should go and get wives, and make sure that your daughters should go and get husbands. So if he wants to go and have his son marry a wife, that's more or less in his control. We don't mean total control, because we see how many boys nowadays are not getting married, even though their fathers want them to get married. But we mean to say, is there at least he has some financial influence? He can go and give his son lots of assets, and therefore he's now an attractive candidate. Moreover, like the Gemara says, v'chibshua, it's derech shel ish lichboich shel isha, not the isha lichboich shel ish. Maybe today is different, but at least that's what the Chazal learned. And that being the case, therefore, it's easy for him to go and be mechanach, easy. At least he can try to be mechanach a son. Now it's time for you to get married. Go and find an appropriate girl and get married. So that's biyode. Elevanzim, he can't biyode. By a girl, unless there's a boy that's willing to propose, you know, she's never going to get married. So how can you go and say, go and get husbands for your wives? Hakamash Balon, what the Pasuk is telling us, sub silentio, that means parenthetically, the nilbisha, v'nichsa, v'nesiv lamidi, keich nekavtzi ala, v'asen nasvila. Oh, the Torah is telling you, you want your daughter to get married. Nilbisha, go and dress her in nice clothing. V'nichsa, and cover her nicely.
Make her attractive.
Make her attractive, exactly. Medallah minishmirachtzin, and with all...
Jewish can.
Exactly. Everybody understands this. We don't need to explain in any great detail. V'nesiv lamidi, and give her some money, give her some nechasim, some nan, keich nekavtzi ala, and then she'll be an attractive candidate, and all of a sudden, all the boys will be interested. If Chazal is giving us this Aitza Toiva, tell me what's the amount? A person should give a nadin for his daughter up to a tenth of his nechasim, so that she should be able to marry successfully. And now, even though Abaye Varova are talking about when the father is still alive, we're going to have in a later mission, a later Gemara, Mi'etz Hashem, the same thing applies to Acher Moisei, meaning that just like we said that the Yisoyimim are supposed to go and supply mezoinos for their sister or their half-sister or their stepsister after the father passes away from the nechasim, they're also supposed to go and supply a nadin to the girls that need to get married. And the Gemara is going to say, what's the shir? How much should they go and splurge and give for her? Until a tenth of the Yerusha, a tenth of the estate. Now, okay. Barry's probably thinking, what happens to the multiple daughters? Then the estate, each time is going to be a little less.
Asa to Asa,
we had the other day, right?
It's not the same thing, because there it's on the person.
We're going to have lots of Gemaras about that. Wait till we get to it. Anyway, Zukti Marietz, fine, I understand. The aim of the Av Lirois, the Baal Loi Lirois. Let's go and say then, what does it say in the Ksuba? Bonen dicha dihevel lichaminoi, einen yersin kesa ksuba sech yeser al chokein di emachoyin. So they're going to get a bigger share. So we focused until now on the dowry that the father brought into the Ksuba, to the marriage. He gave the Empire State Building, it says that in the Ksuba. She is going to get that, she's not going to get it. He is going to, if she, we're talking about that she died first, and then the husband died and he gets the Yerusha. When she died, the husband, Yarshin's the wife, now belongs to him. Now eventually he dies, and now the Yarshim are going to split it up. So this Empire State Building will belong to her Yarshim and not to his Yarshim, or not to Yarshim only from his other wife. Maybe this halacha should only apply to a dowry that the father brought in, like Empire State Building, what happens if the husband also added something in the ksuba? Maybe in that case, since she died first, maybe I shouldn't go and say that that should also go to her children. But that's not the case, because the ksuba just talks generically that when my wife, pass away, and when I, the husband, pass away, and the children are going to get now the estate, it's not just the dowry that the shver is bringing into the marriage, but it's also any additional property that he promised her in the ksuba. That also goes to that. To break the mara. Why? If the whole takana was based on that we want that father should go and empower their daughters to be able to get married, so it should only apply to his nechos, not what the Baal brings in. Says the Gemara, use human psychology. In Cain, if the husband is not going to be forced to share his nechosim with his wife and their children, in other words, that's like Tanoim. What are you putting on the table? What am I putting on the table? The father will say, I'll put in the Empire State Building if you, my son-in-law, if you're also going to put something on the table. That if, chas v'sholem, if the daughter passes away and leaves over kids, and then you pass away, and then I want to make sure that not only Empire State Building belongs to my kids, but also other additional stuff that you're putting into the marriage and want to go to them, as opposed to going to your other kids. So therefore, I'll put up if you put up. Good. Peitimar ve'eim ha'echa the cause of Av. Lichtov Baal, Hechlikosav Av, Loy Lichtov Baal. Meaning, in those cases where in fact you have a father that gives the Empire State Building, this din of the Banan Dichminoi Shitaka apply. But what happens if the father didn't give her any additional nechasim? Maybe the father was poor. Maybe the father didn't want to. He was stingy. He didn't. But the husband was willing to marry her anyway. Our Mishnah said, even if you don't write in these terms, this is a chiyuv of Tanai Bezin. Then anyway, she would get, or her Yisayim would get additional stuff that the first Yisayim. In other words, the Kesef Ksuba Sech, the regular Ksuba, as well as any Tosefes Ksuba, that this would all go to her Yisayim. If the father didn't put anything on the table, why should we have this Takana of Ksuba's Banan Dichrin? Look. Since we instituted this, b'nun dichrin, then it's written in all the ksubas, and if it's not written, yechayv anyway, even if nobody put anything additional on the table. Bas bin abonim nami tirois. Why don't we go and say, why does the Mishnah say that there's a distinction between b'nun dichrin and b'nun nukvan? Why don't we go and say even by b'nun nukvan, that if you only have girls, and I left the Empire State Building, that after both of us pass away, the girls get the Empire State Building. But the Mishnah says they only get Mezoinus. Why? As well as not. Why didn't they get the Empire State Building? So if you mara kenach l'shivyu Rabbanan, the Rabbanan wanted to go and be mesaken there tonight bezin, that it should go and reflect as much as the Torah. And since the husband passed away and he left over boys and girls, and the girls cannot go and get nachla, when there are boys from the other marriage. Oh, but Frank Timara, Bas bin Abonis Tirois. So why don't you go and say, when this husband, if he only had girls both from a first wife and from this wife, okay, so now, like a Benoist Slavka situation, only girls are getting the Yerusha, so let his girls or her girls from this second marriage, let them get the Empire State Building. Why would it be split among all the girls? Again, once they made this takana, they said in all cases, Banan Dichrin, they get Yerusha, but on Nukvan, they get Mezoinus, and if they're only Banais, then everybody shares and shares alike. They didn't go and tailor-made the text each and every case differently. Why don't we go and say that they should be able to collect from Metaltlin? You remember we had the Gemara already a couple of days ago, that just like Banan Dichrin, it's only from Karkois, the Mezoinus also only comes from Karka, not from Metaltlin. It's only a Takonis Usha later on. The Marki Ksuba Shavirabanan, they went and did it like the Ksuba. Just like the Ksuba is imposed and impressed on Achrayis Nechosim. Only Nechosim Shesh Nechrayis means on Karkois and not on Metaltlin. Same thing applies to the Chiv of Mezoinus. Frank Timara of a Titroif Mishabdi. What happens if there isn't enough money in the estate, or there is not enough Karkois in the estate, and therefore they want to collect from Mishubadim? We said yesterday in the Gemara, we brought from the Braisa, that you cannot collect. There are 5 dinim that the Braisa said you can only collect from Michurari. Chamish Goy Minim Churarin, Elohim Peirois, Shvach Peirois, Vam Mekabel Olav Lozen has been Ishtoi Bas Ishtoi. It only comes from mechurarin, which means nechasim bnei choyrin, and not mishubadim. Every mara yarsin tanan, because it uses the lashon of yerusha, meaning in the lashon of the shtar of the ksuba, it says banim nichri have lichmei noi ein yarsin. So it's a form of yerusha. Just like yerusha, you'd only have rights against bnei choyrin, not against mishubadim. Here too, these takanas are only against nechasim mechurarin bnei choyrin, not mishubadim. Faith imara. The aima afal gav the leka moise dinar. What does that mean? So we really haven't discussed this until now. But let's assume now you have a husband that had two wives. And each wife brought in a dowry into the chasana, for Hashem. She brought in Empire State Building. The other brought in the Liberty Tower. Wonderful. And Baruch Hashem, they lived together very nicely. Both of the wives had a bunch of kids. And then after that, Nebuch, she passed away. Both wives passed away. At the end, he passed away. And now we have an estate. And of course, there are major legal issues, because if you have an Empire State and Liberty Tower, Kentra Shefurshtown, says Lebedik among these. So what does it say in our Mishnah? That the children of the Empire State Building, Zayda or mother, they'll get the Empire State Building. And the children of the Liberty Tower are going to get the Liberty Tower. Yeah, but that's only if, in addition to that, there's at least a moiser dinner, an additional dinner. Dinner, of course, being a matbeah, in addition to those two properties. What happens if the husband was a lo yitzlach? Lo yitzlach means that, unfortunately, he never made a dime in his life. He didn't even make a dinner in his life. Therefore, the only thing that he left over were these two nechasim. You have the Empire State and Liberty Tower. Then the halacha is that all the assignim go and divide them up equally. So you go and take the Empire State Building, it's worth $1 billion. Liberty Tower is worth $1.5 billion, $2.5 billion, and they all go and divide it up equally among all the assignim. The only time that they get their benon dichrin, that it says in the ksuba, that they get their special nechasim, is only if there's at least another dinner in the estate. And the question is, why? What difference does that make? They brought in the Empire State Building, they deserve to get the Empire State Building. He brought in the other one, the Liberty Tower, they deserve. Why does it make a difference if it's moiser dinner? It says, Imar, I'll tell you why.
Happy family.
The makim to come, the ekra nachla di araisa, like the kina rabbanon. Meaning, men are told you, without this whole takana, without this whole tonight bezin, what would be the din? The father passes away, he leaves over in his estate an Empire State Building, Meta Liberty Tower, then all the boys go and share alike. That would be the din, men are told you, except the Bukhar would get pishnaim. But besides that, everybody shares alike. It's only this special takana. Says the Gemara, if you're going to tell me that the entire estate was only these two properties, then there will never be a kiyum of the Nachli D'Oraisa.
There's
not going
to. He has to have a dinner to basically attach to.
Exactly. There has to be a dinner, so that will be the minimal amount for this estate, that everybody will be able to go and share alike, and then they'll be able to go and be Mekayim, the Tanai Bezin of the Bon and Dichrin. But if you don't even have that Moisa dinner, so therefore you're going to be Mevatel the whole Din D'Oraisa of Nachla, of Yerusha, and therefore then we don't do it.
Our lawyer advised these boys to make sure the state has a dinner.
I'm sorry, once again.
If I were these boys, I'd say, you
if know, I was a lawyer, I would go and throw in a dinner to the estate, so they should never
pass. You're a lawyer.
Okay. Reb Chananya Menakasha, Oimer, Rotsi, Gudibor, Chazakas, Sisi.